Good morning and welcome to Nachiyomi. Today we are going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Dalet. One of the most difficult things about learning through Sefer Yirmiyahu is the fact that his prophecies are not in sequential order. They're not in chronological order. That means to say that although the previous prophecies that we've talked about, we've learned in Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and Perek Gimel, are actually earlier on in Yirmiyahu's career, without really announcing it, Tanakh now switches to later prophecies in Yirmiyahu, for example, Perek Dalet, which we're about to encounter. So part of what we're trying to do now is trying to sort of rearrange them chronologically in the sense that we get a movement of his life and what's going on around him. So we are now jumping ahead in his career. We're going to jump back at some point in time, but hopefully just to get a sense of the movement. Right now, this prophecy is really, the Perek Dalet is a focus. If you were to give a topic for this Perek, it would be called the March of Babylon, the March of Babel. This refers to a specific event which is happening, and that is during the reign of Jehoiakim. This is the second king that Yirmiyahu is prophesizing during. And this refers to a particular event where the Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babel, his full name is Nabucodonosor, and he takes over from his father Nebuchadnezzar. And in this, in his rise to power, he conquers the coalition of the ailing Assyria and Egypt. Assyria has banded together with Egypt against this new and terrifying power which is rising in the Middle East. And there's a watershed moment in which Babel takes the Egyptian outpost of Karkarmish, which Karkarmish is actually a city on the border today of Syria and Turkey, so in the very north along the river. It's a central waterway, as well as it also being a critical stone in the pushback of Egypt's coalition against Babel. This is recorded. If you go to Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Vav, the 46th Perek, he refers to this specific event that happened in the 4th year of Bishnas Arviyis Lo'yakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, which happens in the 4th year of Yehoiakim. And this is terrifying because that means to say the buffer zone in the north, it has opened now. There is now no longer the peacekeeping forces, there's no longer a coalition between Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Yehuda in the south, and this terrifies them. There is a two-year wait in which Egypt pushes back the Babylonians, and it's at which point Jehoiakim breaks his allegiances and subservience to Babel and joins the coalition with Egypt, which ultimately brings about his demise. So this is a complicated time, complicated shifting loyalties depending on the quicksand of who seems to be the most powerful or the option for Yehuda, and it's against this that Yirmiyahu rails. So let's look at this parak for a moment. The first parak, the introductory section of the parak, is the first two psukim, and these two psukim are calling to the nation about doing tshuva. He says, "Im tashuv Yisrael nu Hashem alai, if you're going to return, tashuv. Im tasir shuk utzecha miponai b'latonod, if you're going to really, really fully come clean with me, then you know what? V'nishpatecha Hashem emes, v'mishpat v'stoko, v'sparchu voy goyim voy yisalolu. You know, then you're going to be a blessing to the nations." Now, it's clear at this point in time that Israel, the impending destruction is not going to be averted. Yirmiyahu is not forgiving them a false promise. But it sounds like somehow this particular end could be averted or perhaps changed should they decide to make real committed change. So this is going to be the koteret. That's going to be the sort of the headline for this entire perek, is the phrase that if you're able to change, you may avoid what I'm about to describe to you. And we're going to hear some of the very pained cries of Yirmiyahu's own voice as he calls out to the kings of the time. And this first real section he addresses, which is from Pasuk Gimel to Ches, in this section it's basically a plea to change before disaster strikes. He says, "Niru lochem nir, al tizru el kotzim. Do a full plowing. Don't plow or don't plant onto thorns. Circumcise your hearts. Don't, lest my fire comes from the north and consumes you." And he said this imagery of plowing, as is explained by the Mefarshim, as the Radak explains, is that you need to do a real cleansing. You need to do a real looking inside and cleansing out all the thorns, because if you carry on planting on top of all the thorns of your character and your history, nothing new is going to be able to succeed. And should you not do this, then v'imru tik'u shofar ba'aretz kiru mil'u mal'u v'imru hersuna voyal are hamitzar. Should you not, the shofar will be blown, and you will call to go toward a retreat towards the cities. And that at that time, Allah Arya Misubuchoi, and the lion will arise from its den. Umashchis goyim nosayotzamim komoi losum arzeich l'shamon. He'll come to destroy your lands. Obviously, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, the lion, who is going to arise and move southwards to destroy you. Put on your sackcloth and mourn when the destruction comes, says Yirmiyahu. Very powerful imagery over here. That idea of the shofar, although we associated with teshuvah, and it certainly is that background to it, the Mepharshim point out that, of course, that was the battle siren. You know, Rachman and Etzon in Israel today, when there's rockets and you hear the siren, when you think about if anybody's had to have been there, and the terror they feel, when even though there may be iron domes and all forms of protection, the terror that people feel when they hear the siren go off, the bomb siren go off, knowing that something may be in the air, that's the sound of the shofar, that's the battle impending. But the Malbim points out that as opposed to fighting the enemy in the fields, they're too scared or they're too weak to even fight the enemy in the fields. They call the battle call and they retreat into the Ari Miklat, into their cities of Mivtzar, their cities of refuge. At this point, Yirmiyahu now picks on really the real enemy over here. Ultimately, the real enemy is not in fact Nebuchadnezzar, it is not Babel at all. The real enemy of Yirmiyahu are the false prophets. And he says, V'omar, you're going to say, Aho Hashem Elokim, Ochein Asohi Seisa, Lo'omar Zevi Lushalayim, Lo'omar Shalom Yielochem. Didn't you tell us that it was all going to be peaceful, everything will be all right? V'nogo Cherevad Nefesh, but now the swords by our souls. V'oyesahi, Yomer Lo'omar Zevi Lushalayim, Rach Tzach V'soasam Mibar, Derech Basami Lo'i Lizroes V'lo'i Lo'avad. Lo'avar. So there's this smooth voice which has been telling us that everything will be all right. All the Kohanim, all the prophets, the false prophets, have said it's all right, it'll be fine. Just make a coalition with Egypt. Everything will pass over. Babel's going to fall and rise. Hanina ben Azur, all the false prophets of the time. That's what Yirmiyahu says. And now you're going to turn to them, you're going to say, what happened? And therefore he says, Ki kol magid medon, umashmi oven mehar Ephraim. You're going to hear the voices from Dan and the voice from Har Ephraim. That's the north and the south of the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom long destroyed. But you know what? Like they listened to false prophets who said that everything would be fine and it wasn't fine, the same thing's going to happen to you, as the Malbim explains it. That's what's happening. Don't ever trust in the false security. By the way, this is something worthwhile thinking about when Yirmiyahu says this. You know, throughout Jewish history, the people who said things are right are usually not correct. Just to be aware of that. The leaders who said, it's all right, the storm will pass. That's usually their last words. Just to appreciate this. When there's a call for change, that's usually the correct one. Even though it's against inertia, even though it's against norms, even though it's against what everybody else is saying, that's where it's coming from. Same thing with Yirmiyahu. Don't trust those people. And now he says the most powerful, the most emotive words. You can hear Yirmiyahu saying this, and you cry when you hear it. He says the following. In Pasuk Yotes, may I, ochila kiros libi. The inner ventricles of my heart are crying out. Hoimeli libi lo acharish. I cannot keep quiet. Ki kol shofar shomat nafshi truas milchama. I've heard the call of the shofar, the war call. Shever al shever nikra ki shudada kol oretz pisomi shudada oalai rega yiriosa. And my tent has been ripped down. Ad mosai renes eshmoa kol shofar. Until when will I see the banners of war? When will I stop hearing the shofar? The Mepharshim point out, the Malbim points out over here, the most terrifying thing. Yirmiyahu watched this twice. He told Yehoyakim, don't fight. He told Tzidkiyahu, don't fight. He said, you don't have schus, you don't have license, you're not going to win, don't fight Bavel. And Yehoyakim didn't listen to him, and neither, and ultimately leading to Yehoyakim's, his brother's exile, and ultimately Tzidkiyahu again. And says Yirmiyahu, how can I ever sleep at night knowing that I can't stop it happening twice? How can I go to sleep? How can I ever have peace with myself knowing that I didn't try hard enough, stopped one king after the next plunging into their doom? Can you imagine what Yirmiyahu is saying over here? The pain. He's trying his best to do, but he can't seem to get through to these people. And he can't live with himself because of this. This is Yirmiyahu's inner voice. And therefore he describes in the last sections of this perek in Chof Beis to Chavov, that little section, he talks about the disorder of the natural order. Everything falls apart. He sees the land is in dysfunction, the heavens don't shine, and he describes the sort of the natural order cascading into disorder because of what's happening with the human world. And finally, in the last section of this perek, Chof Zayin to Lamed Aleph, he describes the most terrifying destruction of the Jewish people that is impending and will be happening if they don't listen to him. He's trying to use imagery here to shock these kings into submission. Because remember, Nebuchadnezzar hasn't marched yet. Zedekiah isn't around yet. He's trying to tell them what will happen so they can avert, so they can change their actions. In the last pasuk of the perek, uses the most chilling image. He says the following: Ki kol kachola shamati. I heard a voice of like a sick person. Tzora kamav kira kol bas tzion tisya peach to foresh kapel. It's sort of the birthing stool of Bas Tzion, of Zion, as it's spreading out its hands in pain. Oy na li ki oy fo nafshi lahargim. Woe to me, my soul, because I am tired to those who are killing me. Says the Malbim in explaining this expression of childbirth. What's happening over here is we're talking about the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim, like the breach of childbirth, of the womb opening. But it follows a lot of blood. So much blood is leaving, so much pain in the siege of Jerusalem. And finally, when it's open, the bones of the stillbirth are taken out because they're all killed by Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar. When this over here, Yirmiyahu is saying, is what's about to happen. Understand, you're going to birth, but you're going to birth into death. That's what it is. All this pain for naught. That's what he's telling Yerushalayim, if you're not going to listen. So Yirmiyahu was giving it with every tool he has in his kit to be able to tell Yoyachin, or really Yoyakim before him, and Zedekiah, listen, don't let the shofar of war happen if they're willing to listen. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.